Life isn't always easy. Sometimes there is chaos. Sometimes there is pain. Sometimes trouble and even destruction. The good news is that God promises that He will be with us in all situations. We've been studying the life of Joseph. And Joseph's life was characterized by dysfunction, unfair circumstances, and frequent discouragement. First of all, his home of origin was very dysfunctional. He was hated by his brothers. His brothers actually attacked him, and they threatened that they were going to kill him. Ultimately, instead, they sold him into slavery. While a slave, he was falsely accused of taking advantage of Potiphar's wife. He was thrown in prison for a crime he did not commit. Now, 2 weeks ago, Josh shared with you from Genesis chapter 40. While Joseph was in prison, he was given some responsibility. And so he was there with Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker. Each of these men, they had a very special dream. And God gave Joseph the ability to interpret their dreams. He interpreted the dreams, and exactly what he interpreted is what happened. The cupbearer was restored to his position, and the baker was impaled and eaten by birds. Yummy, right? Ugh. So, Joseph, as all this was going on, one of the last things he said to the cupbearer was this: "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." Unfortunately, even after Joseph gave an accurate interpretation of the dream of the baker and the cupbearer forgot to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. He forgot all about Joseph. And so today we continue our series. I want to remind you that if you have missed some sermons, they are available for you to listen to on our website. But today we continue with chapter 41. So I'm going to ask you to turn to chapter 41. And yes, we're going to read all of chapter 41. And it is a long chapter, but it is the story. So we need to have the background laid out. So I'll give you 1 second to get there. I see many of you are turning. And then please follow along as I read. It says, "When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men in Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, 'Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had the meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile. When out on the river came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing in a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin, and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 good years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine and will come upon Egypt so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace and all my people, and to submit to your orders only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble in my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he says." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all of the world. So, not only did the cupbearer forget him, but as we pick up this story, the cupbearer forgot him, not just for a short period of time, but for 2 whole years. There he was in prison. But not only was he in prison, it says that he was in a dungeon. Ugh. Now, while he was still there, Pharaoh had a dream. And of course, I read the dream and the interpretation of the dream. There were 7 cows. They were very well nourished. They were fatted calves, if you will, and they were grazing among the reeds. And then there were 7 more cows that came up out of the Nile, and they were malnourished, okay? The ones that were malnourished, they ate up the 7 fatted cows, but they didn't even appear like they had any food because what was to come was so severe. Pharaoh fell back to sleep. And he was troubled with another dream. This time there was a stalk of wheat. There were 7 stalks of wheat, or the stalk of wheat was 7 heads of grain. Now, I'm not a wheat farmer. I don't know much. I don't know how many heads of wheat should be on a stalk. Maybe somebody knows. I don't know. But I can tell you that it had 7. It was a full and abundant. And in contrast, there was other stalks that were scorched by the east wind, and they were just not fruitful at all. And they scarfed up the ones that were abundant. And so Pharaoh looked to find an answer or an interpretation. What did these dreams that were troubling him mean? Well, he asked for the magicians and the fortune tellers and all those people that were in Egypt to come and to interpret, but nobody could give him an interpretation. And then it was then, the cupbearer. Maybe he was wanting to gain a little favor with Pharaoh, saying, "Well, hey, you know what? I know somebody. I remember now. I remember this guy named Joseph. And he was in prison under Potiphar. And he was there, and he was able to tell the interpretation of dreams for me and also for the chief baker." And exactly what he said is exactly what happened. So it says that Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And Pharaoh told Joseph about his dreams, and immediately Joseph knew. But he said to Joseph, "You tell me what the answer is." And Joseph said, "It is God that will give the answer." Okay, that's a very interesting key point. We need to remember that part, okay? But anyway, Joseph was able to accurately interpret those dreams. He said, both of those dreams that you had, the one about the cows and the one about the grain, they are the same message. God gave you two as a witness. Now, we know biblically that facts are established on the testimony of two witnesses. And God revealed through two different dreams what was going to happen as a sure witness and testimony what would be happening there in the land of Egypt. And so Pharaoh said, wow, is there anybody that has wisdom and understanding like you that we could put in charge of this? And then says, wait a minute, what about you? And so Pharaoh put Joseph in charge. In verse 39, it says, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. And he put him in charge. He gave him the signet ring off of his hand. And Joseph was in control of the entire land of Egypt. During those 7 years of abundance, there was so much food that was in the so many crops that it was more than the grains of the sand of the sea. They stopped keeping records. They couldn't keep up with the abundance. God was giving an abundance, and Joseph was preparing for the years that would come. Well, before the famine came, we are also told that Joseph was blessed with two sons. The firstborn, his name was Manasseh. And the name Manasseh actually means causing to forget. And it says in the scripture that it's because Joseph was able to forget the struggles of his youth. The second son he named Ephraim, which means fruitful, because God was going to bless Joseph in the land of Egypt. So 7 years of abundance came to an end, and 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was also a famine in all of the other lands, and only in the land of Egypt was there food. When the famine had spread, Joseph opened the storehouses. He sold grain to the Egyptians. And that famine was so severe, it ends our text saying that the famine was throughout the entire world. And so that's what we learn from Joseph's life today, but there's some lessons for us. And so if you have your white sheet, we're going to quickly look at three truths that apply to this today. All right? Here's the first one. Joseph was delayed because God had a plan. Now, I don't know about you. I am not a patient person. I admit it. All right? I'm not. I've been told, heard this many times, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in women, never found in men. All right? And I live up to that. I'm just not, you know, I want what I want when I want it, and that's the way it is, all right? And many of you are like that too, and it's okay, because misery loves company. But anyway, imagine being delayed. You know, here's a guy, yeah, interpret his dream. He's restored back to his position. One would think he would be grateful and be able to say, hey, Pharaoh, you know, I just got to tell you what happened to me while I was in prison. But he didn't. He didn't remember or didn't say a word. I kind of would suggest that maybe God, who had a better plan, allowed the circumstances to be what they were. All right? And so Joseph, the one who was accustomed to not having to get his hands dirty, the one who was accustomed to walking around in a kingly robe that his father had given only to him, the one who was accustomed to being in charge under Potiphar, was now in a dirty, dark dungeon for a crime he did not commit, and he was forgotten. How did he respond? Did he complain about his circumstances? Did he shake his fist at God and say, God, how dare you? Or did he continue to be faithful and trust God? The answer is he remained faithful even though he was delayed. Even though God didn't answer quickly, even though he was unjustly treated, even though he was there serving for a crime he did not commit at all, totally innocent. How do you respond when God's timing is not your timing? Maybe you're praying for God to open an avenue for another job. Maybe you're praying for God to draw one of your loved ones to himself. Maybe you're praying for a child who has drifted off and has walked away from relationships in your family, maybe even has walked away from God. And you're praying, and it's not answered like that. How do you deal with that? From Joseph's life, we can learn that God's timing is not our timing, but his timing is always right and perfect. God had something in mind here. God was doing something. He was working behind the scenes. Just because Joseph couldn't see God's hand was there. And in those times of difficulty, those times of delay, we should be asking God, what do you want me to learn here? And I know that's not easy. But we should be asking God, what do you want me to learn here? Because, I think the faster we learn the lesson, the quicker God can move on to the next thing, right? It is in those times of delay that we will be still before God. It is in those times that we can do nothing else but rest in his presence and trust him. And he does say, be still and know that I am God. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph remained faithful, and he continued to do the right thing, even though things were certainly unfair in his life. Truth number two, Joseph was wise because God gave him wisdom. He very quickly told Pharaoh, my ability to interpret these dreams comes from God. And Pharaoh recognized in him that his wisdom came from God. Joseph's wisdom and understanding came from God, and Joseph gave God the credit. Now, as I thought about this, I thought, well, maybe we should ask the question, what is wisdom? We know a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge and perhaps have no common sense or ability to put that knowledge into practice. But wisdom, this is a biblical definition, is the ability to judge matters rightly, relating to life and conduct. One who possesses wisdom makes decisions according to biblical truth. Wisdom is not guided by personal opinion or personal experience even sometimes, but it is based on true knowledge. Now, if you were at Good News Day Camp, one of the things that you learned was Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God is really the source of wisdom. James tells us that if we lack wisdom, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, real wisdom is wisdom that is based on the truth of the Word of God, not based on your personal opinion, okay? And then God tells us that if we lack wisdom, He will give it to us if we ask. So speaking of wisdom, there was a minister and a Boy Scout and a computer expert, and they were passengers on a small plane. Now the pilot, the fourth person on the plane, turned around and spoke to those who were in the cabin, and he said, "Something's wrong with the engine, and this plane is going to crash. The bad news is, there's four of us, and there's only three parachutes." So the pilot said, "Here's how it is. I have a wife, I have three small children," and so he grabbed the parachute, and he jumped out of the plane. So the computer whiz said, "You know, I should have one of those parachutes. I am the smartest man in the world, and everybody needs me." So he took one, and he jumped. So the minister turned to the Boy Scout, and with a very sad smile, he said, "Look, you're very young." He said, "I have lived a rich and satisfying life. I love Jesus. I know where I'm going to be. So you take the last parachute, and I'll go down with the plane." And the Boy Scout said, "Yo, Reverend, you can relax. The smartest man in the world just picked up my knapsack and jumped." So you can be the smartest person in the world and not have any wisdom, all right? Wisdom, real wisdom, comes from God. And then the last truth is this. Joseph was entrusted because God was with him. You see, he was one of those people that seemed to prosper, but he didn't prosper because of his own ability. He prospered because God was with him. You know, think about a few messages ago when he was in Potiphar's house. He was brought there as a slave. It wasn't long until he was the guy in charge, right? He was in charge of everything in Potiphar's household. And now, he stepped it up a notch. Now, he is in charge of everything under Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Everything is at his disposal. You see, it says back in Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted everything to his care. Here in our text today, Pharaoh entrusted everything into his care. Why is it? Because Pharaoh, king of Egypt, understood that God was with Joseph. Joseph's abilities were given to him by God. Because Joseph trusted God and allowed God to lead him. Now here it is. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is with you. God promises that He will never leave you or abandon you. And God gave you His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. God's Spirit lives inside every true believer. And so it is, we can truthfully say that if you know Christ as your Savior, God is with you. It's actually in you, okay? So, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? What does the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit does, He convicts us of sin. Now, the Scripture tells us, it says, when He comes, this is Jesus speaking, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. So, if you're looking for understand, for wisdom, for leading in your lives, you know, the first thing that the Holy Spirit will do is say, that's not pleasing to God. You should not be doing that, okay? He will lead us and guide us and convict us of sin. The second thing, another thing that the Holy Spirit does is He assures us that we belong to God. And that's important because one of the things that many people lack is assurance. They hope they go to heaven. They think they might be forgiven, but they don't really know. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. It's not something that is bold or crass when we say, I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I will spend eternity in heaven. Sometimes people look at you like, man, what are you smoking, right? But the truth is, we know because God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit, and we know that we've been forgiven. We know that we have a promise of eternal life. So that is another ministry of the Spirit. We sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We can sing that because God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit. Because God's Spirit also helps us understand God's Word. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. You know, I've had people over the years say to me, you know, Pastor, I used to read the Word of God. It was like I was reading a foreign language. I could not understand it. And then one day, Pastor, when you led in prayer for trusting Christ as Savior, and I prayed and I trusted Jesus as my Savior, the next time I opened the Bible, it was as if God had written me a personal letter. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to our lives. You know, we all face challenges. We're tempted by sin. And the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome that. Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit also empowers us to serve. And it was the Holy Spirit that was empowering Joseph to serve under Potiphar and to serve under Pharaoh. Because it says in Corinthians 12, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. In fall, coming up, I don't know, September-ish, October-ish, somewhere like there, I'm going to be doing a sermon series on serving. And we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. We're going to be looking at how God empowers us to build his church and build his kingdom. We're going to be looking at what it means to be used by God, to be a leader for God, and all of those kinds of things. And so that's coming up. That's just a short commercial. What we need to remember today is Joseph's wisdom and abilities came from God. He trusted God, and God led him. His life was characterized by a dysfunctional family. And many unfair things happened to him, and he faced many discouragements in life. But in the midst of all of these challenges, he remained faithful. He continued to be faithful and continued to trust God. So, what lessons can you learn from Joseph? Well, first of all, the big one. No matter what is going on in your life, don't quit. Don't stop trusting God. God may be sending a delay in your life, but he has a plan. His plan is better than yours. Just trust him. Be faithful no matter what. So let's talk about how to apply this, all right? Well, perhaps you've been praying for something and God's answer is delayed. Maybe you feel forgotten by God. Maybe you say, well, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't this happening? What's wrong? Trust God. God has a better plan than yours. He really does. And his plans always have your best in mind, even though it may not feel that way right now. Trust him. Second, you know, you might be trying to make a decision. How do you go about making a decision? We need to seek God. We need to seek his wisdom. You know, God answers prayer. God guides us by his Spirit. One of the main ways that God guides us is through his Word. God's Word has advice and wisdom and understanding for everything we face in this life. gives us everything we need. It's all there. And so we need to be in God's Word and seeking Him to give us the guidance we need as making a decision. And He does lead us by His Spirit. But I want to just say something. I want you to understand, because this truth is real important. God will never guide you in a way that is contrary to His Word. Every once in a while, somebody will say, "Pastor, I believe God is leading me to do this thing," which God's Word would say, "I hate," or "I prohibit." Okay? God's not doing that. You know, I've used this example. God is telling me to leave my wife and kids and go live with my soulmate. Okay? That ain't God that's telling you to do that. I can tell you that right now. Okay? God isn't telling you to do that. Does His Word say, "Hey, everybody should do that"? No, it does not. And so we need to understand that God's leading is always consistent with His Word. He never contradicts Himself. That's important truth for us to live by. And then, maybe you want to serve the Lord. Or maybe you say, "Well, you know, man, I would really love to do children's ministry or youth ministry. Or I would really love to serve and do some outreach or whatever. But I don't know if I'm really capable." Well, I already know the answer. You're not. But with God, you are. God may have gifted you, may have given you gifts and talents to do just that. Let me tell you something. I don't do what I do because that's something that was in the career manual, okay? Or something that was, you know, "You're perfect for that by your very nature." No, I'm not. I'm an introvert by nature. I know you think I'm a liar now too, but I am. I really am. You know, I tell you all the time, when I was in school and I had to give an oral report or some kind of thing or stand before the class, I always, in the morning, said, "I'm sick, not going." And, you know, I never went because I hated it. When God called me to ministry, I said, "You got to be kidding me." Only by God. And that's how you will serve. Only by God. So that when people see you serve, they will say, "It's not you. It's God doing it." And if you say something to me, what do I always say to you? "Not me. Give it to the Lord," right? Because that's the truth. It is not me. And so, trust God to use you. Avail yourself to Him. Sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone a little bit, but allow God to use you. And He has some real good plans. I'm sure He does. To use you to build His kingdom and to build His church. So would you pray with me? Father, Joseph's life was a lot like ours. Messy. We admit it. But one thing we see in Joseph is his constant faithfulness and his trust. No matter how long he waited, no matter how unfair his circumstances, he continued to keep his eyes on you. He continued to do what was right when many would have thrown their hands, many would have shaken their fists. His life sets an example for us of how we should live and how we should face the challenges. And I pray, Lord, that we would take the lessons of this message today and we would apply them to our lives however they fit. You know that answer. Lord, thank You that You are always faithful. Thank You that no matter what happens in our lives, You are always there with us. You will always love us. You will guide us as we seek You. And You know more than we do. So we can trust You, Lord. And we're so grateful for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.